Today is November 5th, and hopefully we'll finish the mitzvah number 21, the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. I just wanted to clarify a couple things about the mitzvah. Let's just review from the beginning. We really went out of order, and we dealt with the bottom of page 36. But I'd like to just quickly review what we said from the chinuch, which is found at the bottom of page 35, and then finish off the rest of page 36. The chinuch says that's the last paragraph there on 35. Mm-hmm. That the mitzvah is l'saper binyan yitzias Mitzrayim b'leil chamisha asar b'nisan, to recount the story of Mitzrayim, of Yitzias Mitzrayim, on the 15th, the night of the 15th of Nisan. Kol echod gefitzachus l'shaynoi, each person according to his ability to express himself and to understand. Ulehalel ulashabeach Hashem Yisbarach Hakol Anisim Shasalanu Sham, and to thank the Rebbeinu Shalom, to praise him, and to thank him for all the Nisim that he did there. Shenemar v'igadat lo bincha b'yamahu, our pasuk. Ukvar pirshu chachamim the mitzvah agoda zu he b'leil chamishas b'nisan b'shas achilas matzah. When it says in the Torah v'igadat lo bincha, you should relate the story. The Torah tells us, the chachamim teach us, that this is referring to specifically on the night of the 15th when we eat the matzah. Umash amar akasav l'bincha, that which the Torah says l'bincha. Lav davke b'no, not specifically his son. So if he doesn't have any children, or if he doesn't have a son, el afilu im kol beria, any person, any one that will understand, and the Paiskim say even oneself. Okay, misharashi hamitzvah, from the root of the mitzvah, mashakasa b'korban pesach. Now he says ve'ein min atema, very very important words. It shouldn't be surprising to you, that there's so many mitzvahs that surround the idea of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Mitzvahs hasei, mitzvahs leisa, say positive and negative commandments. Ki hu yesoid gadol v'amud chazak v'teraseinu v'manaseinu. Yetzias Mitzrayim is, to us, one of the great principles, one of the great pillars of our faith in the Rebbeinu Shalom and in his Torah. That's why we always say Zechlitz Yisrayim. Lefi shehu lanu, we're on page 36 now. It is for us ois umayfis gamur bechidush ha'elam. I want to focus on that, and that is, he says that this miracle, the miracle of Yitzis Mitzrayim, is actually a proof to Chidush Ha'ilam, to the creation of the world and the continuity of the world.
Chidush is
Chidush is
the newness,
yeah.
Right? The creation of
V'chiyesh Eloika Kadmain Chafetz V'yachel, that there is someone who preceded the world, an entity that preceded the world, and he has an interest in this world, and he has the ability to change things in this world. He causes all things to have whatever existence they do have. It comes about through him. He's able to convert them, transform them into any sort of existence that he so chooses. At any time. Now this is all obviously a reflection of what happened in Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is where Hashem took things that had what we would call laws of nature under other circumstances. And of course, I always recommend that you listen to the shiur of Rabbi Tatz that he gave here last week, which is really the idea that it's all a mask, and that really there's no such thing as laws of nature. You know, in the Musar world, there's a tune that they sing to the words, Nishda kein teva. There's no such thing as teva. It's a real old Musar song. You ask the Bali Musar, those that follow Musar, you'll hear the song that there's no such thing as teva, which means the normal ways of running the world, the laws of nature, is the is the most foolish and deceptive kind of expression, right? And then when they want to get really fancy, they say Mother Nature. They have an expression for Mother Nature. Or the laws of the Murphy's Law, you know, right?
That's a joke.
It was a joke, but people use it seriously today. It's Murphy's Law that everything's going to go wrong, right? Like, you know, we'll do anything we can to avoid acknowledging that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam in the world. But basically what happened in Mitzrayim was the greatest proof, was the greatest display for the entire world that the Ribbono Shel Olam not only brought the world into existence, but that he's entirely in control of every last molecule in the universe. And this was done all, it was altered, all the laws that until then Mitzrayim was the Kura Barzel, was no one ever escaped from Mitzrayim. And there, you know, the survival of the fittest. You have this enormous nation and they're much stronger than the Jewish people, and the Jewish people have this, you know, slave mentality, they're not getting out, and so on and so forth. Everything that happened after that in such a quick, relatively quick period of time, and that the Jewish people left en masse, not they snuck out. They did it be'etzem hayom hazeh, in the middle of middle of everything.
I just have a question that's very okay. So if somebody comes up to you and says to you, how do you know you said God, instead of giving all the proofs, metaphysics, just say, God took us out of Mitzrayim and he did all these things.
Well, we'll speak about that in a moment. You're absolutely right. Now, you have to be speaking to somebody who actually believes in the Old Testament. Or is aware, right?
Yeah. You'd be surprised how many Jews don't know.
Well, they do because they watch the movie, right? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
No?
Okay. Maybe people that are over 40. Under 40, I don't know.
You have to know who you're talking to. If you tell them, oh, the biggest proof is that God took us out of Egypt. Okay, well, wonderful. I mean, this really doesn't speak to them, correct? So, we'll see in a moment something about that idea. Right, in one moment, yes? So he says like this. He says, the fact that Ribbono Shel Olam changed all the so to call them, laws of nature. Strange things happen. Fire and water together. Firstborns dying. All sorts of strange occurrences. And here are his very powerful words. That flies in the face. It refutes every single denier of the creation of the world.
Could you translate that?
Mishasek, shtika. It quiets every heretic, every person who denies Chiddush Olam, u'mekayem ha'amuna b'yediyas Hashem Yisbarach, and it supports our faith in knowing that in the Ribbono Shel Olam, knowing everything that's going on, v'chiyashkachasai v'yachaltai b'cholam v'pratim kulam, that the Ribbono Shel Olam not only created the world but continues to control the world and has absolute power and is the Almighty and is interested, another fact, in every little detail that goes on in the world. Now, there's a sefer called Toldos Yitzchak. Toldos Yitzchak, where did he get his name from?
From the Parsha.
This week's Parsha, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. It happens to be that he was an uncle of Rabbi Yosef Karo.
Wow.
And he passed away in 1535. And he says, as many following him say, that the fact that the Torah says Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Hashem is now introducing himself to Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai, right? I am Hashem, your God. What would you think would be the most impressive resume that he could provide when introducing himself? By the way, I'm the one that wrote the book. I'm the one that made the move, right? I'm the one that, what did I do, right? What's my accomplishment? I wrote a sefer, I gave a shir, I was the one that spoke at the Siyum HaShas. You know, I mean, how are you going to, right? How do you introduce yourself? So what does the Ribbono Shel Olam introduce himself as? I am Hashem, your God, I would have said. Hashem Barasi Shemai Varetz, I created the heaven and earth. No. What does Hashem say? Anochi Hashem Elokecha, as we know. Asher Etzisicha Meretz Yitzrayim. What's the answer to that? So you know there's a famous question. Who was the author of the Lechadaivi? Rav Shlomo Alkavitz, yeah? So they asked the question like this. If you look at Lechadaivi, it's actually, his name is actually there, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay, and he's very poetic, besides for being a brilliant Talmud Chacham. In fact, the famous story with, we're talking about the Rabbi Yosef Karo. Famous story with Rabbi Yosef Karo, where he was learning for two nights straight on Shavuos, and then Malach came to him, a whole famous story brought down in the Shalah, not for now, but he was learning with Rav Shlomo Alkavitz. Rav Shlomo Alkavitz, a tremendous man of Kabbalah. So he wrote Lechadaydi. So one of the things he wrote was Shamar v'zachar b'diburecha. Yeah? So the question is, if you look in the Torah, what comes first?
Zachar.
So why did he write Shamar v'zachar? So this question has been bothering many, many people for many, many years. Along comes a chacham and he says, one minute. His name was Shlomo. He wants just an acronym for his name. So he needs to start the paragraph with a shin. So he says, Shamar v'zachar.
But he's quoting, I think, to a name of Chulte, which I think the lesson there is Shamar v'zachar.
So there probably are better answers than that. But sometimes, practically, there's a reason as well. But you're right. You're right. There may be a chazal that say it that way. I'm sure there's more to it than just the fact that he wanted it to match his name. But, or maybe he had the latitude to match his name that way only because there's a chazal. Whatever the case may be, sometimes there's a very simple and practical answer. And sometimes there's a deep answer. Sometimes they're both true. So listen to what he says. Why did the Rebbe Shem say, Yesh l'akshes. One should ask. I created the world. It's a better, bigger accomplishment than Yetzias Mitzrayim, isn't it? She says, "Yaser Nais Kishabara Ha'Elam." She Kishabara Ha'Elam, Bari Me'ayin. He created the world from nothing. Yesh Me'ayin. Tshuva. First, he gives the practical answer. The Jewish people didn't see Bria Salem. They're standing in the year, what is it, 2448, was it? 2448, right?
1313.
So, they're standing in that year, and it's already over 2,000 years since the creation of the world. They didn't see it. That's, to me, that resonates with me. But he says something even deeper.
Even though they trust him, v'ro yitzias Mitzrayim.
But yitzias Mitzrayim, they, even though they trusted that the Rebbe Hashem created the world, they believed it. But yitzias Mitzrayim, they saw with their own eyes. Einecha marayis, it says in the Torah many times, you saw with your own eyes. Yeah, and in fact, the Torah even goes out of its way later in Devarim. It wasn't your children, your grandparents. You saw it yourself. Look what he says here. Shebechlal asher haitzeisicha chidush ha'elam. Included in taking us out of Mitzrayim is the constant mechadesh betuvei b'chayam tamid. Not just the creation of the world initially, but the constant recreation of the world. She'i efshir la'aseis ha'nisim ela im chidush ha'elam. Created the world, continues to create the world, and is in total control of every aspect of the world. And that's what Yetzias Mitzrayim teaches us. So in a certain sense, Yetzias Mitzrayim is actually more impressive because it includes in it the creation of the world and the fact that he's constantly changing and in control. And in fact, if you look at the Archas Chaim, written by the Rosh, he writes like this. One of the things we have to do is liftayach Hashem b'chol levavcha, to trust in the Ribbono Shel Olam with all your heart, ulahamin b'ashgachas ha'pratis, and to believe that he is involved in every minute detail of the world. Ubozet tekayem b'levavcha hayichud hashalem behem in bay. And through that, you will be able to establish and support, you'll be able to prove in your heart the oneness of the Ribbono Shel Olam, ki ein of mishaydes b'chol haaretz, and that he's constantly scanning and viewing and analyzing the world, ve'ein of al kol darkei ish, and he's watching every action, u'beichin leiv v'chayker kleis, he knows the thoughts of every person, ki mi she'ein imam in asher tzeisicha meretz Yitzrayim, someone who doesn't believe
in Asher Hoytzeisicha Mitzrayim, the Rebbeinu Shem took us out of Mitzrayim. Af ba'anoichi Hashem alikecha inei mamin. He doesn't believe in anoichi Hashem alikecha either. He doesn't believe that the Rebbeinu Shem could do such a thing. Ve'hinza yichud sholim. That's not absolute oneness and absolute control. Ki zeh, I mean, on a simple level, a relatively simple level, the oneness of the Rebbeinu Shem, the truth is that everything, this I think Rabbi Tatz made mention of this, that in real truth, everything in the world is a part of the Rebbeinu Shem. Nothing could exist without the will of the Rebbeinu Shem. So everything has a spark. Baruch Sha'amar V'haya Olam, the Rebbeinu Shem made an utterance, and so everything has a spark of Kedushin. Everything is really an extension of the Rebbeinu Shem. The oneness of the Rebbeinu Shem means that everything in the world really is under the umbrella of the Rebbeinu Shem. Not just he's in control of everything, he created and is in control, but it's actually all an extension of him. So that being the case, if you don't believe that he could have pulled off the Yetzias Mitzrayim, then you don't believe that everything really is an extension of him and under his domain. Ki zeh haya sgulas Yisrael al agayim, v'zeh yisoid HaTaira Kula. The chosenness of Yisrael was the reason why the Rebbeinu Shalom took us out of Mitzrayim. There, and we'll explain a little later, it actually is true that that's the reason why the Rebbeinu Shalom brought us there in the first place. Right? We have to keep in mind, we'll see this later on, that it's not just that the Rebbeinu Shalom took us out is the great miracle and the great in the best interest of the Jewish people, but going down there in the first place was for a purpose. This is the basis for the entire Torah, and that's why we constantly, as the Chinuch said, constantly find Asher Tzisicha, Asher Tzisicha Meretz Mitzrayim, Zeichel Tzis Mitzrayim. Everything is Tzis Mitzrayim because Yetzias Mitzrayim, not only, as we said before, not only is a reflection of the Rebbeinu Shalom's ability to alter things, but that everything is under his control, but that he created it in the first place, and everything is him. That gives us an appreciation for his Torah, and why it's so important to follow the Torah, why we're here in this world in the first place, and on and on. And that is the basis, obviously, for the entire Torah. Now, just couple of interesting notes here. One question that people tend to ask is, really we have a mitzvah we know, Kol Yimei Chayecha, we say in the Haggadah, is that correct?
Right.
We have a Hayamim V'Halelos, we have a mitzvah to tell over the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim every single day. So why is this mitzvah of Igarat L'Bincha, which Chazal tell us is on the 15th of Nisan, why is this different than the mitzvah of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of retelling Yetzias Mitzrayim every night and every morning? So what do you say, Drew?
I asked you this question.
Oh, you asked me this question.
Yeah, you gave me.
So you asked me first. Is that what you're saying?
You gave me a beautiful answer.
Okay.
The answer you gave me was that every single day of the year we remember, but this becomes the source. We experience it that day. So that every day when we have it, it's like this becomes like the...
I wish I would have said that answer. Such a beautiful answer.
Standard.
I don't recall answering that, but that's 100% true. The mashal I like to use, my father likes to use this mashal, like a booster shot. Right, you get the one initial shot, and then every couple years, 5 years, 10 years, whatever it is, you get a booster shot. So there's the main impact, there's the main experience, as you're saying, right? I don't recall saying that, it was such a nice answer. Yeah, if I said it, it was good. If I didn't say it, it's excellent. Okay. But in any case, but it's true. There was the one time that we, like you're saying, it's you have to one time get the big, big shot, right? You're gonna go through the experience yourself. You're gonna feel it, and then every day you recount. You get a booster. You get a little, right? But what you're really doing with those little boosters is you're really savoring some of the taste of that Sipri Tzitzis Mitzrayim that you had on the night of Pesach, correct? Okay, so here I have, I brought down five distinctions that you have between the two, even though this shiur is really focusing on the reasons behind mitzvahs, but it's important to get a really good idea of what this mitzvah really is, certainly on a basic level. These are five items that I've picked up over the years that have made a very big difference in understanding the distinction. So number one is shebechol yoyim muter behirhur. Every day, to fulfill the mitzvah, all you really need to do is to fulfill it with thought. On Pesach, there's a mitzvah, you got it, that you have to actually utter it, you have to express it with your mouth. That's from the Prima Gadim. The next item, I don't recall where I saw it, I believe it might be from the Prima Gadim too, I should go look it up again. But the second one is that the mitzvah for the rest of the year is learned from a drasha. It's not mefurish, it's not open in the Torah. It's learned from a drasha. The mitzvah of Pesach, to retell the story, is an open pasuk, as we said before, Vigadat Lavin. Number three, and this comes from Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, and it is brought down in the Sefer Emek Bracha from Rav Pomeranchik. But he brings down the following. Shebechol Hashana, HaMitzvah Lizkar La'atzmai. During the rest of the year, the mitzvah is to recount to yourself, to say over the story to yourself. V'halayla, but on the night of the 15th, the mitzvah is to say it to others, derech she'elo tshuva. A dialogue, asking questions, what happened here, what happened, to recount the story. Number four, the mitzvah is, during the rest of the year, to tell over the yitzhi itself, just to tell over the yitzhi about the exodus itself. The fact that we left, right? And that's what we say in Shema. When do we fulfill this mitzvah? Morning and evening? During saying over the third parasha in Kriya Shema. What do we just mentioned? Right? In passing, just like that, we just talk about the fact, we make mention of the fact, or we think, of the fact that the Rebbeinu Shem took us out of Mitzrayim. But on the, there should be a little carrot there, and it should say, however, on the night of Pesach, very good, visual aid. On the night of Pesach, we really have a mitzvah not just to say the fact that he took us out, but all the ishtalshus, all the things that led up to it, maskel begnus, mesayim eshach, and all the details, and the whole drama of the story, etc., etc. And number five is, also from Reb Chaim, is that on the night of the Pesach, we also have a mitzvah to say the reasons why we do the mitzvahs. So we make a proclamation. We have a mitzvah of Pesach, Matzah, Marah, and each one for a specific reason that relates to the story of Pesach. And that's an obligation, as we know from Rabbi Gamliel, right? There's no such obligation during the rest of the year. And by the way, like in the middle of, you know, this morning we said Kriya Shema, and say, and by the way, on Pesach we eat matzah, on Pesach we eat marah, on Pesach we eat, right, because of XYZ. No such thing. But on the night of Pesach, we actually have an obligation to do so. Okay. Now I want to conclude the mitzvah of Vigadat Levincha, Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim, with an unbelievable Zohar. So when you go home and your wife asks you, if you learn any Kabbalah today, you could say a little bit. But it's really not the authentic Zohar. It's not the original, because it's only a Targum. It's only a interpretation, translation. Just makes it that much easier. But the idea is here. This is certainly not lost in this translation. It says like this. Mitzvah l'saper b'shevach yitzias Mitzrayim shechoyv ala adam l'olam l'saper b'shevach hazeh. It's an obligation on a person to always tell over this. Now look at this. Kol adam ha-mesaper b'yitzias Mitzrayim, excuse me. Any person who does tell over the yitzias Mitzrayim, v'sameach b'sipur ahu, you might not ever have seen words like this, and you rejoice in telling over the story, besimcha. Wow. A person does that, asid hu lismayach im hashchina, that ches should be a chav, right? He will eventually be misameach with the shchina l'olam haba, rejoice with the Rebbeinu Shalom and l'olam haba, shehu gedayla mikol simcha, that's the ultimate simcha, it's the greatest simcha of all, Shezehu Eved Asamech Madayna is the ultimate simcha of an Eved, of a servant rejoicing in his master. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you hear this? Sameach B'Sipur Ahu Shalai. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam also rejoices when he hears his children. You ever think of this when you're saying over the story on Pesach? Listen to this. He also rejoices. Ba b'shah. On that time, look what happens. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mikabetz his kol pamal yishalai. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam gathers all of his angels. The Omer Lohem, and he says to them, you think the Rebbeinu Shel Olam cares about any one little human being and what he's doing on this world? Look at the Rebbeinu Shel Olam himself, the Malay Kalaris Kavayde. What does he do? He says to his angels, Lechu v'shimu es ha-sipur shel ha-shevach sheli. Come and listen to the praise that my children are offering me. Shemesaprim banai usmeichim b'gu ulasi. Come and listen to what they're saying. I challenge you to make a song out of these words, because people have made songs out of other sorts of statements that are similar to this, as far as learning Torah, etc. You know the song Kad Yasmin Yisrael? That's basically when the Jewish people are sitting and learning Torah, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam rejoices, he turns to his angels, and he says some beautiful... So they asked Reb Chaim Kanievsky once what the source of those words are, and he said... He doesn't know of any source for those words. No Chazal that has those words. It's apparently, they did some research and they found it in some Vilna Siddur back in the early 1800s or late 1700s, something like that. But in any case, it seems like somebody maybe based it on some words of Chazal somewhere, but he created some poetic, sounds like he created some poetic words. But in any case, but the Rebbeinu Shel Olam says, come and listen to my children. This is a Zohar, so you could really make a song out of this one. Drew, that's your homework. Come and listen to my children. Wow. It's not a pasuk, Neil. You don't have to be that worried.
No, it's correct the spelling of Shkina.
Okay. So Oz miskabtzim kulam, and then all the angels come together. Ubayim umischabrim in Israel. They come and they join the Jewish people. V'shaimim sipur hashavach shesmeichim b'simcha gulas adainam, and they come and listen to the sipur, to the retelling and the rejoicing of the Jewish people, who are joyous in the redemption of their master. Ubayim umaydim hakadosh baruch hu, and they also come and thank the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Al kol elo anisim hagvurais. Umaydim loy al Am HaKadosh, and they praise him for the Am HaKadosh, for this wonderful holy nation that he has. Sheyesh lei ba'aretz shesmeichim b'simchas geula shel adonam. And what happens then? What's the result of all this? That the angels come and they rejoice. Oz nitaisif lei kayachu gvura lemaila. That adds like tenuais lelekim. We know the pasuk, right? Give strength to Rebbeinu Shel Olam. What does it mean, give strength to Rebbeinu Shel Olam? What does that mean? Chaim Volozhin explains this. What does it mean, give sukkah? What kind of pasuk is that? Give strength. You give strength to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam? What is that? Kvira? The system, the way the Rebbeinu Shel Olam instituted it in this world, is that when we behave, when we do the right things, when we make a bracha, when we whatever we might do, we, so to speak, give strength. And he says, I'm only going to do it if you do X, Y, Z, or if you learn the Torah, or if you whatever it might be. So we, in a certain sense, are, so to speak, allowing the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, giving him the latitude to be more benevolent to us, right? So this gives kayach, so to speak, we're giving kayach to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. B'Yisrael, and the Jewish people, by way of retelling the story with this simcha, give kayach la'adaynam kemelech shenayzev like kayach gevura pe'eshem ishabchem gevura seyom ha'idim lai. Just like any king that is emboldened and is strengthened by the fact that his people, his subjects are excited and happy and rejoicing in his greatness. So obviously we see this is this sort of idea of telling over the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is not something simple. We just tell over the story. When you think about this before you embark on this sort of mitzvah on the night of Pesach. And you want to see that you want to know how great it is, this mitzvah that you're about to do, you think about it, that the Rebbe Shem himself is coming with his Pamalia Shalei, with his entourage of Malachim, coming to listen and hear, and that gives tremendous and enormous strength to Kal Yisrael to go further. Shukayach. Tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, we'll see page 3.